in the sports booth. Here we are once again on a beautiful Sunday. My name is Eldrick Bone. I will be your host for this wonderful sports program. But I am not alone. I've come well armed with three people today. Full of sports knowledge, Mr. Jay Harrison.
Hello.
Mr. Jacob Stockfish.
What up?
We got Mr. Michael Lorenzo Porter.
Hey, yo.
Here we are, ready, going. And we're going right into it, boys. Going right into it. Can't even stop. And you know what? It's playoff season. It's October. So we're starting off hot. First thing, before we even get to the postseason, something happened that was amazing. First time in 45 years, we have a triple crown winner. Miguel Cabrera, best batting average, most home runs, most RBIs for the season.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. What a performance by the Detroit player. Wow. He's just had an all-star year, almost quiet when he did it, but always a danger when he was at bat.
You know, like, I honestly thought he could have made a strong case for MVP last season, but Verlander had a great season last year. Can't take that away from him. But this year, wow. The batting average and the home runs and everything is just like, he did it so quietly too, because you think of that team as being Verlander and the pitching staff, but yeah, he came and he really did his thing. Obviously, the triple crown, you don't just win a triple crown.
Yeah, I was personally shocked by it because every year you kind of watch it and then someone kind of falls off in one category and you just kind of put it to the side. You don't think anybody's actually going to complete it, but the fact that he kept his average up is the most impressive to me because he's not the fastest of men. So, you know, he has to hit the ball out the infield. He's not going to get infield hits. He's not going to get that. So he was really had to be crushing the ball to get that triple crown. So big ups to him.
The other people in the race with it was Mike Trout. Yeah, he was going for home run as well with batting average alongside Buster Posey with RBIs. Buster Posey, to me, is the most amazing catcher right now in the game in terms of hitting. With the RBIs and with his batting average, I see some faces of like not really agreeing.
I don't agree personally. I'll take Yadier.
Yeah,
any
I was
day.
About to say Yadier.
Yeah, I'll take Yadier Molina over Buster Posey.
I mean, that's two World Series, yeah. Man. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, Buster Posey, he's cool, but you're sitting with some Dodger fans, so
says the guy. All right, I'm gonna start that off right. I mean, we're gonna do that in a little bit, but let's answer this Miguel Cabrera question, and it's the only question that's coming with it. Does he win MVP for the season?
Unanimous.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Because the thing is, all people are talking about is, oh, sabermetrics, things like that. But I watch the games, so I don't really need sabermetrics to tell me how I see the game. I haven't seen a triple crown in my lifetime. So, you know, that's a big deal. And on top of that, people are bringing up defense and this and that, which I can agree with. Like, defense is a big deal. But how many other races have we ever brought up defense in? You know, we never
as
brought
an
up that.
MVP stat.
None. We never talk about defense in an MVP race, which, you know, Trout's a great young player. He's going to be a beast in the league. But a triple crown, seriously, we're going to deny that? Come on.
Give the man some props.
I think with Miguel, I think the thing that we're not talking enough about is Prince Fielder. I mean, hitting in front of that guy is, you know, great for him. And I think it's really helped him a lot. And like you said, last year, he could have had a, you know, he could have been a candidate for the MVP. But I really think that Prince, you know, being there has helped him a lot, not worrying about, you know, what he's going to get. He knows he's getting something to hit, and it shows. He's the MVP. There's no doubt about it.
Great point. He did that last year with Ryan Braun, too. That's a great point.
What about you, Eldrick? Do you think Trout has a chance or what?
No, I don't at all. The only thing that bothers me is that the last time there was a Triple Crown winner, he didn't get MVP.
No. It's been a few of them who haven't got MVP.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently. That doesn't necessarily secure MVP.
But also back then, because apparently Ty Cobb didn't get, or he got it one year, but he had like 13 home runs. The thing is, the league is so big now, and the fact that somebody can keep up with average, and then, okay, the power numbers, I can understand when somebody has RBIs and home runs, but to have the average along with it or vice versa, that's difficult. And the fact that he did that throughout a season, the fact that Mike Trout batted, you know, 285 in September doesn't help his case. And everybody's saying, oh, he played 30 less games. Well, that's on the Angels. That's, you know, I'm not going to take that in consideration when voting for MVP, but that's just my opinion.
And who's in the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that who's in the playoffs?
That's the most important thing, right? What do we play for? Championships.
And speaking of playoffs, and we were all collectively part of this week with the Dodgers. We're all Dodgers fans in this room.
Boy. Mm-hmm.
So Monday, just, you know, heart's about to come out of your chest. The ending to the game is amazing. You know, walk off. What was it? A walk off single?
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk off single off the glove. Herrera, just amazing. And you're like, there's hope. There's hope. We have to win the next two. They can lose the next two. I was at both games. I was at on the game on Tuesday. It was the same situation again. We're behind, except as soon as the scoreboard said St. Louis lost, like the bats are coming alive, we're getting hits. With that Ellis triple, guys.
Let's not. I mean, I don't want
to. Do we
about
have
it.
To talk oh, about that? I mean, gosh. Can we not?
I have to. I have to because I was there. I was really upset about that because I just remember watching the third base coach saying, stop, both hands in the air, stop. And as soon as he realized that he's going to keep going, he falls to the ground knowing that there's no chance.
I think, you know, these moments, you know, guys try and make plays when they really don't have to. You know, you should play within your system or, you know, just within make yourself, the right play. Like, play within yourself, right. You know, he didn't have to go for three. You know, he's trying to be a hero. We didn't need one. We would have scored the next batter up. You
sack
know.
Fly.
Yeah, sack
no,
fly.
Was it? No, Shane Victorino got a triple.
Well, he got it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So then we got a man on third. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Yeah.
And Matt Kemp was the most disturbing thing to me. He had a terrible night that night, and he showed his frustration through his bat on the ground and all that other stuff. But he had two chances left, about three or four batters on base. With two outs. Not the
performance. It's been a tough year for Matt.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is, if you look at where we came from, having McCord at the start of the year, the expectations of us, you know, the fact that we were even in a race with two games left was a miracle to me. I was looking more forward to next season immediately when we got the trade. Would have loved to make it this season, but I'm not gonna hold one play with Ellis, you know, accountable for what happened over many games. There was plenty of games all year you could have pointed something like that out. It just happened at the end of the year, so we're looking at that one. So,
question, and this is my personal. I'll put my opinion after this. Do you think you could buy a team in baseball to get a championship?
Yankees.
The Yankees do it all the time.
Done before, yeah.
I mean, when people call us the Yankees of the West, I'm like, what's wrong with that? They win World Series. Like, I'm down for that. Like, I haven't seen a World Series since I was 6 years old, so we need to do something new, obviously.
I think I want to say yes, but there's a lot of parity in baseball. You know, we've seen the Yankees lose to teams like the Marlins and, you know, the Angels have knocked them out a couple times. They kind of have their number. So, you know, the Angels don't have a small payroll either, but I think there's something to be said for being able to spend money and putting your team in a position, at least, to win, you know, not, you know, win every year, but, you know.
If that's the case, then what do you think the Dodgers invested poorly, or what was the thing that let them down?
Long term, I think they invested wisely. Short term, I can't really think of any negatives. I mean, you have the bats while they're there. Pitching, I think they could have done a little bit more with Blanton. I liked the move initially, but, I mean, overall, I think the Dodgers are going to be okay.
At least we're go-getters now.
Yeah, we're out there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a long time since we've been actively trying to go get guys. So for me, I feel like I like it. Regardless of where it's out or not, we know now that we're that team. If there's a free agent out there, there's a possibility he's going to come here. So for me, I'm excited about that. Will these certain contracts work out? I think so, but, I mean, time will only tell. Especially with Crawford. I like Gonzalez. Beckett, I think, for our pitching staff, where it's at right now, will work out. But Crawford's the one questionable. Who knows? And I love Hanley.
He's so, still young. You don't.
He might be able to come back and still, you know, produce.
So Crawford is probably my only probable, because it's either him or Shane Victorino. Either you get somebody to buy Crawford's contract, which is a lot of money to eat up, or you renew Shane's. What do you guys think is the more probable of the two?
Personally, I like Shane right now. I mean, he's a little bit older, but I mean, he has the experience. He's been there. He's won.
He said that he wants to come back as a Dodger.
Yeah.
I would personally like them both. I mean, the Guggenheim group has not shown that's not a possibility. But, you know, it might be more of an ego thing. You know, one of them wants to start. I think I would go Crawford. I know Victorino's good, but he had an off year. He wasn't looking like the fly in Hawaii. That's why the Phillies got rid of him.
So, why are you going Crawford? Steals?
Steals, overall power. I mean, I think Victorino's good, but I don't think he overproduced on our team. I think he just did what he had to do, and it wasn't anything too impressive or, you know, I'm just kind of impartial on it, I guess. So the fact that we already invested all that money, Crawford's not going to get the money from anybody else. We got that because we got Gonzalez and Beckett.
Yeah, I think I'm with Jacob on that. Crawford has more upside. You know, he's younger. Victorino, you know, he's playing well now, but how much longer is he going to be able to do that? You know, he's clutch. He's been there before, but Carl Crawford is you know, one of the top guys in the game. I think if he's healthy, you know, it's worth the risk.
And for all those listening at home and you're just hearing something you don't like, let us know. Let us hear it, you know. The number is 800-893-9562. Okay, call in. Let us know how much you guys don't agree with us. Or you agree with us, it's okay. We know what we're talking about. We'll take our pat on the back, you know. moving along with baseball, because when we talk about Dodgers, they're out. The Angels, they're out. We're blowing hot air. Okay, we're not saying anything that's not new, that nobody's heard. Let's go into what's happened so far that's really pertinent. The Cardinals take out the Braves, and they end Chipper Jones' farewell tour early. Or, I guess, on time. I don't know how you want to call it. How would you guys say about his career?
You want Chipper? Some? Yeah. I remember watching him since I was 6 years old, and to see him go out in not so great way. You know, the infield fly thing happened there in Atlanta. I think his legacy is great because he is one of those few guys. Well, we don't know how many of them did, but he didn't. You know, he didn't do steroids. He had one of the best swings in the game.
True.
Played the game the right way.
Switch hitter,
exactly. You know, he's obviously going into the Hall of Fame. It's a dying breed.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
I don't necessarily think that that last game was going to really hold my opinion on him. I mean, if he had never won a World Series, maybe, then I would hold that against him. But I think, you know, I'm glad he got to end it at least in Atlanta, you know, and I think the fact that he's won a World Series, been on the team for 19 years, over 2,700 hits, you know, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, and it was a joy to watch him, really. I mean, he's been one of the most consistent players for a long time, and, you know, you really don't find that in a guy staying with the same team. I mean, that's unheard of nowadays, like Jeter, him, you know. So those guys are, like you said, a dime.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And the man's name is Chipper. Let's just give him a little bit of credit. His nickname is Chipper. Like,
he's Chipper, cool, man. He brings that smile, that little smirk. Chipper, yep. Guys. Chipper.
Him, Schmaltz, they were the Braves when I was growing up.
Like, that was them.
Gavin, Stan, yeah. All
Javier Lopez.
Jones. Grew up on Chipper.
And, you know, thank you. All I can really say is thank you, Chipper Jones.
Thanks.
Yeah,
hey, thank you. Even I'm not a Braves fan. There's a lot of games where he caused more turmoil than you know, love in the game for me as a Dodger fan. But one club player.
He's probably
switch
the best.
Hitter, consistent. Even at his age, still utilized, you know? It's amazing. Applause him to the future Hall of Famer. Thank you, Chipper Jones.
I think he's the best third baseman I've ever seen.
I won't go that far, but he's...
Ooh, who are you going to put up there?
I'd have to think about it. See? But, I mean, was Yount a third baseman?
Who?
Robin Yount?
He's up there. He's definitely up there. He's a top three.
It's top three.
Yeah,
that I've seen, yeah, for sure.
Well, going on, trying to cap off baseball, let's almost see if we can speed around this. The playoffs are intact, wild cards in place, all the matchups are ready. So let's go. Who wins the series? The Nats versus the Cardinals. What do you guys see taking that?
Nationals.
Too much pitching.
I know there was a little, we got a little head start on this, so they're 1-0, but I'm still going to go the Cardinals. I think. I don't know. There's something about that team that they have some, and I'm just not going to doubt it. And the fact that Strasburg's out, and it looks like the Nationals are going to be around for a while. But I think this year, I think the Cardinals will still get them, but we'll see.
I think the Nationals have done the work to have a long-term project pay off, and this might be the year. And this is step one, for sure. And it showed today, I mean, tough pitching matchup between both of them, the Cardinals and the Nats. But the bats applied. The Nationals won today at the top of the eighth, 1-0. The Cardinals couldn't pull it off. So they're already on top with that. I'm totally going with the Nats for this one. So next one up, Yankees-Orioles.
Oh, it's an interesting one because you have a guy in Showalter, you know, who used to be there in New York, and we know about that history. But I think it'd be interesting. I want to say Orioles, you know, but I think the Yankees are just – I think they're too strong offensively for them. Yankees.
Yeah, I'm with Porter on that. I really, really want to say the Orioles. I like with my heart, but you can't go with your heart, so I'm going to have to agree the Yankees.
I'm going to have to go Yankees too, but the Orioles are hot right now, and no one can really doubt that.
Yeah.
And we know how teams are when they're hot going into the playoffs. They usually have a tendency to keep that heat all the way through, like the Cardinals did last year. But I'm going to have to go with the Yankee bats.
Sure. But Buck wants revenge. What about that?
I don't care. I give nothing to the revenge factor anymore. Last year, to me, was the NFL. In the NFL, Tom Brady, Giants, round two. Revenge factor at its full, still lost.
I think it's difficult also to get your revenge as a coach. You know, as a player, maybe, you know, you're out there hitting, but I think as a coach, it's a little more difficult because he has that drive knowing his background with them, but you can't
instill that. That can get the players behind you sometimes. They can go, yeah, we got to do this for coach. You know?
Winning for the Gipper?
Yeah, exactly.
I won't put anything past him. I'll tell you that right now. That's why I'm saying in the heart of hearts, I want to pick him, but I don't think I'm...
It'd be a great story, but I mean, as a guy whose team is out of it, I want to see... the World Series with the most possible stars, and part of that equation is the Yankees, so part of me wants to see them get there.
Well, speaking of, I also am going Yankees, and ditto to what you guys have been saying. They're winning right now 1-0, bottom of the second. You guys check that out if you guys want. That's one of them. Next up, Reds Giants. Who do you guys have taking that?
Who we're taking. We're Dodger fans over here. We're taking the Reds all the way.
That's all. I mean, that's my last point before I just stop caring. Yeah. I'm totally mad that they started Kane and they started Barry Zito against... you guys have nothing to lose now. You guys have clinched. It's ridiculous. It's I can't terrible. Believe that happened. That's so ridiculous. But overall, I think the bats of the Reds are more consistent. I think they have enough to get people on base and take them home. Not necessarily... I mean, oh my God, how am I spacing on the biggest hitter for the Reds?
Votto?
Votto?
Yeah.
Votto.
Oh my God. He'll take you home. You know, you put people on base, they have a great rotation. Pitching, awesome. But I don't see the Giants, and more than, I guess this is the one where I really hope the Giants don't make it.
The Giants, their best shot is to keep these to about 2-run games. They don't have enough hitting.
Yeah, I honestly feel that, and I've said this the whole time, not the whole time, but I thought whoever would win this series would be the team that makes the World Series. And I don't see the Giants. I don't know. I'm with the Reds on this one. It is because I'm a Dodger fan, but it's also, even if I wasn't, I think they'd still win that. Especially the fact now that we know Matt Cain lost in the first game. They don't get him until, game four? So
the rotation might die out with that. And I know that the pitching struggled earlier in the year. Let's see if that comes back. Last one, Tigers versus A's. Who do you guys have taking that?
The MVP.
Oh.
Tigers. I'm saying it right now, guys. Tigers, 100%.
Championship for the Tigers.
Yeah, well, they might have that year.
The format's gone backwards, right? It's back to the old format where it's 2-3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go Tigers as well. I don't see the A's putting up much of a fight there.
What's the reason? Pitching or bats?
I'm going to go both, actually. Yeah. I think... overall, they're just a better team. You know, the A's tend to do this. They'll win. They'll get in. They're hot. But, you know, they maximize the talent on that roster, and they're out in the first or second round. I mean,
yeah, I really agree with you. I really like the A's. They're kind of like the Orioles to me, in the heart of hearts. I want to pick them. But in reality, I will go Tigers, and I honestly think the Tigers will make it to the World Series. That's same. So that's why I would go with them.
Last topic. We'll take a break right after. Okay. It's the end of October right now. Let's put our imagination in effect. It's the end of October, and you work for the New York Times, LA Times, USA Today. You have the option of choosing the headline. What do you think would be the most interesting story by the end of the playoffs, by the end of the World Series?
So many interesting possibilities. You want to put in, obviously, Miguel on the Triple Crown, Buck Showalter.
Well, to me, I'll start you guys off. To me, it was Chipper Jones until the game. If Chipper Jones would have ended his farewell tour with a World Series, that would have been, wow, amazing, okay? My next one up, I'll give you guys my top three. My second one was the Cardinals. The Cardinals get into as a wild card twice in a row.
Without Albert this time.
Without Albert this time.
Lose your best player. You lose your coach.
Exactly. And then my last one would obviously be the Tigers. You know, the Triple Crown. What else could Miguel Cabrera work for then, other than a Triple Crown, then a World Series, and MVP? Which I
think I'm going to go the opposite here. I think the biggest story would be a team like the A's winning it.
Moneyball.
You know, Moneyball. You know, the movie just came out. I know. I think that would kind of be something that gets everybody interested in baseball again. I think that'd be a hell of a story, actually.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I was going to say the A's. If you're looking for a story, that'd be a great one, especially if they face the Giants, like the Bay thing. Even though I'm not a fan, that would be a great story to tie in with it. I personally wanted and thought it would have been a great story if a team could have made 3 straight World Series and finally won it, especially how sad it was last year they didn't win it in Texas. And I'm extremely disappointed of how they played the last couple weeks. But they really were the team I thought could win it and deserve to win it over the longevity of things. So I think, but I'll go over all the A's because, you know, I mean, whole Billy Beane thing, the whole sabermetrics, like, you, that's a great story if they can do it with that payroll.
And just to mention, the Rangers only team not to win a World Series, so they're long overdue.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Jay?
What's an interesting storyline? How about the Nationals? Everyone's talking about this, the rookies and Mike Trout. How about this kid Bryce Harper coming in? I mean, I'm sure he's not having the impact of Mike Trout, obviously, but he's 19 playing center field for the Nationals, and they're in the playoffs, not Mike Trout. That's a big deal to me. I remember when I was 19, I couldn't imagine getting ready to play playoff baseball.
Having a it's huge. Bryce Harper's had an amazing career off of 1 year. You know, let's see if you can keep that up. Maybe he's just, you know.
Let's see what happens year two.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got still got NFL. We still got soccer, MMA. Stay tuned. You're in the sports booth.
You are listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
Hey, everybody, this is Drew Marks, host of Bad Advice here on Skid Row Studios. Listen to us every Saturday, 2 to 3 Pacific time. If you want to call the show, call us at 800-893-9562.
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true, Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at skidrowstudios.com.
Hey, everyone. This is the weekly wrap-up with Ken August.
And Kike Castile. Tune into our show on Sundays from 9 to 10 p.m.
All right. Back in the sports booth, here we are. You got LJJ, Jacob, and Porter supplying you guys with the best knowledge that we can give you, at least. So, we're switching. MLB took a lot longer than I wanted. Who cares? This is a hot topic. We're in the World Series. We're in the playoffs. Can't deal with it, people. NFL, we're there now, guys. We're in the NFL. I have to. I did this last week. Didn't really work out. I'm hoping it happens.
Play the beat.
Okay, that's just weak sauce.
You can play the Chicago Bulls beat again. I won't mind that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure you would. My NFL thing's not really working. That's fine, guys. I'll figure that out later. I'm still learning. All right, guys. First topic right off the bat. To me, it was probably the biggest story of the day pending the game tonight. Colts rally in the second half to beat the Packers 30-27. Great performance in the second half. A lot of questionable calls by the ref. I know, Jacob, you had one that was like, we just saw the video right before we started. Clay Matthews hits Andrew Luck, causes a fumble. Green Bay gets the ball. Refs reversed the decision, saying it was helmet to helmet. But, I mean, I didn't think it was. Your thoughts on it, guys?
I just think the fact that I'm starting to feel for them because of the Seattle game. I'm not one to say you got to blame it on the refs, but there's anybody to make a case, it would be the Packers. I'm starting to feel for Aaron Rodgers because he's doing what he has to do most of the time, and his defense isn't doing it. They need help on D. That team is not the same as they used to be. And you know what? With the whole story with Andrew Luck and, you know, the Colts and their coach going down this week, you know, it was a heartfelt story. I can't be mad at them. I don't hate the Colts. I don't think they're a playoff team, but it's a team in rebuilding mode, and this is a big step for them. So I thought that was good for them. And, you know, I hope the Packers can get it back on track because they're a real fun team to watch in the playoffs, but it's starting to look kind of grim right now.
I think an interesting thing from that game, the hit that was put on Andrew Luck was definitely not helmet to helmet. But the thing that is really interesting about the Packers this year is the fact that, you know, they started to run the ball a little bit more. They ran last year, but really, you know, second half against Seattle after Rodgers was sacked 8 times, they come out and just pound the rock with Benson and they get something going. Benson's hurt now, so now what are they going to do? Is it just going to be up and down the field, a lot of that stuff? We don't know. Is it going to go back to last year? Greg Jennings is in and out of the lineup. You know, like you said, this team defensively is hurting. I don't know. Their schedule's pretty easy, but not sure. I mean, this looks like a 10-win team.
It's not easy when you blow a bunch of games that you should have won already.
Yeah, and the thing about the refs is interesting, too, because a lot of people you know, obviously the Seahawks game was big in getting the regular refs back, but now we've got them back, and it's like, well, they make mistakes too. So you got to win. You can't have close games with the with the Colts and the Seahawks.
Got to play the game.
And really quick, maybe it's a good thing that they do go as a 10-16 because they won as a 10-16.
They didn't do anything as a 15-1 team. They were done.
I think there's a lot of momentum in this game for the Colts, and it really paid off. The whole having cancer. And, you know, you want to win against a big team. And although the Packers are struggling defensively on all ends against every team, you know, you still got Aaron Rodgers.
Except for the Bears.
I was reading up on Twitter and what Coach McCarthy was saying about the Packers. And he wasn't saying, you know, obviously they have the defensive woes, but he was saying offensively they're just not in sync. They're not supplying, getting catches. They're dropping the balls a lot. Aaron Rodgers is losing his receivers sometimes, and sometimes they don't even know where to go. I saw Aaron Rodgers, who was he reading? Yelling at Woodley? That he's on the wrong side, you know, and there's that confusion. So I think they have a lot to fix. Their D is definitely one of them, but if Aaron Rodgers can consistently work with his receivers to get points on the board, their defense will, you know, have a little less to worry about, you know?
Yeah, and they've got two more road games coming up, and I believe the Texans are next, so that'll be a very interesting game.
That's a good game to be back on track if you can win it.
What do you think would win that?
I'm going to go Packers. I'm a big believer in the Packers.
I'm going Packers, too.
I would go Texans on that one, actually.
Really?
And you know what? I'm sure the majority of people would. I'm just still a believer in the Packers, but, you know, if you're a betting man, I think you'd have to go Houston.
Yeah, I would, exactly. And it's just, to me, Houston's a team that has a great D and a decent offense. And that pays off.
The thing you worry about with a team like Houston is, you know, who have they played so far, you know?
Strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got Arian Foss. I mean, Andre Johnson.
They're not bad, yeah.
Top players.
They're not, no, not by any means.
All right, guys, we have a caller. You're in the sports booth. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello. Who's joining us on the sports booth?
It's your boy, Lou. That's
who that was. Our boy, Lou.
What's up, Lou?
We know Lou.
Yeah, they connected me right through, dude. Fucking, what's going on with you guys?
How you doing? Oh, internet radio. We can get away with that one, man. We're just talking about...
Sorry, dude. I'll tone it down a little bit. I thought we were internet good. That's why.
Hey, no, I'm saying we're on the internet. We could say stuff like that, you know?
But you just need to tone down your attitude, honestly. Like, that's all you need to tone down.
We're just talking
about there.
We're just talking Colts-Packers. What are your thoughts on that game?
What's that?
We're just talking Colts-Packers. You have any thoughts on that game?
Colts Packers. Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, I thought Luck actually looked really good. I mean, we all saw Reggie Wayne take off, but I mean, that's to be expected. That's basically his number one weapon. But I still like the I mean, you can't count out the Packers. That's a championship team.
Do you still think this team is able to win a championship in its current form?
I don't know if they could repeat this year, but I mean, there's no telling what will happen the second half of the season, really.
So you're a Packer fan?
No, I'm not a Packer fan.
What's your favorite team, Lou?
I respect what that team's done.
What's your favorite team, Lou?
I'm a Raiders fan.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I mean, my team is my team, dude. I'm not trying to, like...
Yeah, you and half LA.
Okay. I understand some of you guys are fans of a few other teams. We all didn't know Jay was a Giants fan until, like, a couple of years ago.
Oh, I was waiting for that.
When he bought his jersey. Oh,
Attack, man. Attack. Bite him a little bit.
Wow, Lou. We're friends.
Of course, everyone should know that Jacobs, the reason why he's a Chiefs fan is because of Marcus Allen, who won his ring where?
Oh, Oakland.
He has a confused face right now.
My name's Jacob. It's not Jay, by the way.
We're just talking about Jay
first. I was talking to you secondly.
Okay,
first.
I just want you to... refer to me in third person.
Yeah.
We're on a little bit of a power trip here, guys.
Yeah.
These headphones are getting to you guys.
Yeah. I don't like this car all
right. You should have such confrontational, like, hosts. I don't know what that's
about. Who's this caller? He's really rude. Like, you don't know me.
Hey, Lou, you and I are peachy, so I'm just going to not, you know, bag on the Raiders or anything. It's like...
The Raiders don't, like, they deserve every joke made about them.
You should know, Lou, that Eldrick is a Patriots fan, and that Tuck rule, that just so happened to be against you guys. So,
you should hate him. That was one of the worst calls ever.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll take that. You know what? We're going to talk about the Patriots right now. You know what? Well, how about that? Stay on the line, Lou. You're going to be talking
Patriots.
Yeah, so Brady beats Peyton, all right? He beats Peyton at Foxborough 31-21, all right? Who do you guys think is a better quarterback right now?
Tom Brady.
Right now, you got to go question. Tom Brady. I personally enjoy Peyton Manning, like watching Peyton Manning, but you do have to go Tom Brady. 100%
with Louis on that one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
we're all talking about how scary this is. New England. New England's
running
game.
I mean, he won his first title under false pretense, but that's...
That's another discussion. That's for another day.
Hey, you know, Porter's also a Pats fan, man, so you got two against one over here.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we're not sticking up for you, so.
No Super Bowls won since Adam Vinatieri, but...
We were very close.
Very close in a couple of those games, though.
Yeah.
Really close. All right, guys.
Really close.
Let's stay current, guys, instead of taking jabs over here. Now I feel them under my ribs. All right, so... we were talking about how scary this is. New England's running game?
Wow, ridiculous.
Who 257 today on the ground.
It's ridiculous. How much did Ridley go for? Did they have two?
115, I believe.
Okay.
He's running the span of the field almost every game now.
You know? Well, the thing that's interesting is that we don't have all our guys back yet. You know, Hernandez is out. Edelman, you know, he'll be back. So the running lanes are just going to get bigger and bigger. If we decide to stick with that, we'll see what happens. But it's scary.
I mean, your running game's pretty solid right now, which is good.
And we have two backs that are, you know, we have two backs to relieve the pressure, you know?
Yeah.
Ridley. And they're getting 6-7 yards a carry. That's unseen sometimes, you know.
You have Tom Brady.
What do you do, man? It's like, hey, is he gonna throw it? Should I worry about the run? Because I got to worry about both. Before, you didn't have to worry as much. We had Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis last year, and that was pretty consistent.
You guys haven't had a run game like this though since really Corey Dillon,
Yeah.
I was gonna say that.
And even Corey Dillon was like he was good, but he wasn't like. I wouldn't put him in the lead.
No, it was the downside of his career.
I think he had about 1,200 yards.
Yeah, it was a solid.
I thought it was a solid 1,200, but...
I feel that New England, it's scary that they have a running game. I feel that the fact that they... I think they're on the fast track to going right back to that AFC Championship, and I think the Ravens are going to meet them there again. It's early in the season. This is obviously all barring injury. But
they could see us in the Super Bowl again.
You guys will not be.
The Giants will not be there.
We know what happened.
You got to make the playoffs first, but...
Okay, Chiefs.
This is what happens when you're good friends with people on the radio show. You're just like, you know how to get them.
You know how to hurt them a little bit. Yeah, we know the low blows. We've been talking about them all day.
Well, let's talk Broncos a little bit because it can't be all Pats. So the Broncos have been struggling against big teams except for the first game of the season. You know, Peyton had a great game. Do you think why do they struggle so much against top teams? Should they even be ranked somewhere with the top teams?
Well, their defense isn't as good as it was last year.
No.
Peyton Manning's only had one bad quarter. It was that first quarter against Atlanta. Other than that, I mean, the stats, it's like 11 to no picks.
But you can tell he has lost some velocity, and that's kind of disheartening to see.
He's still making the same throws.
He is still doing it, but that's just because, like, that's the quality of player he is overall, I think.
I think that Denver, you know, they still were 17th in the league last year in defense, so I think that defense was a little overrated in people's mind. But the fact with Peyton, I think it's just going to take a little time. This is 5 games in. The guy's
getting his feet wet still.
So, I mean, it's hard to play the Patriots your 5th game back after being out a year. So I think it's just going to take a little more time. Moving forward, you obviously want Tom Brady, but I'm still a big Peyton believer, and I'm not going to turn my back on him because I think he's great. And I think Denver, I hate Denver, but I think that was a huge pickup.
That is. I think that was the smartest move they could have done. To rely on Tebow would have been ridiculous.
He should have went to San Fran, but yeah, that was...
Yeah.
I mean, let's just put that out there.
Yeah, I don't think...
You know, John Elway is still smiling at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all right. So, moving along, we got two more things we got NBA still talking about in soccer, so let's keep working towards it. The Vikings today, they improved to 4-1.
I mean, who would have thought?
Who would have thought, you know, at the beginning of the season? But are they... Do you feel they're playoff bound?
Oof, that's a stretch. I mean,
that is a stretch. You think could they get to the playoffs? They're having a good start. There's a whole second half of the season to play, or I'm not putting that aside at all.
Well, you look at their division. The Lions are 1-3. The Packers are 2-3. The Bears are up there. I believe they're 4-1 too. I think they could get into the playoffs.
It all depends on AP for me. If he stays healthy,
yeah,
it's why not? And Christian Ponder doesn't turn the ball over like he's been doing. It's why not? You manage the game, win the games, you're good.
Let's not forget, we're only a few years removed where the Vikings were a big favorite for a long time.
Gunslinger,
and they still have that number one running back, in my opinion, if he's healthy, and that's AP. So it's all on Ponder, in my opinion. I think they're definitely playoff bound. How far, that's going to be the question.
Their secondary is a little sketchy, but
We'll see.
I think their secondary has turned around a little bit. I mean, these last few games, they've been holding points. Today, I think it was the most points they've allowed the whole season so far in a game. But they've been holding it down. I think that's how they beat
San Francisco?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly how they beat San Francisco.
They stopped the run, yeah.
Stopped the run.
I mean, I think we need to be fair and also address the fact that like division, some of those teams are on shaky ground right now. And some people didn't see that coming, you know.
The Madden curse? Do you believe in the Madden curse, Lou?
I believe in the Madden curse. I'm just a superstitious cat like that, though. But I believe in the Madden curse.
Calvin Johnson's Madden curse is Matt Stafford.
Is he hurt yet? No, he's not hurt, right?
Calvin? No.
I think it has more to do with his contract.
It doesn't always have to be that he's hurt. It doesn't always have to be
Curse doesn't always have to be injury. People get that confused.
Well, especially when you're a great receiver, you're going to start getting noticed. You know, so it's usually that secondary guy that ends up getting a lot of the bulk of the catches.
All right, speaking of D, because we mentioned where the D's are doing, you know, the Vikings D's all right, doing good those last few games. Today was kind of shaky, I think. Who does the top three defenses for you guys in the NFL right now?
All in the NFC West. I would go San Fran, Seattle, and Arizona.
San Fran, Arizona.
Wow.
Nice.
Arizona up until last week, they didn't even have terrible points last week. But
I thought their game versus the Rams this week was just... they both had outstanding defense. Who could get points on the board? It was a really long game.
It was a grind-out game, yeah.
It was such a long game. And they only got a field goal in, and they lost, what was it, 3-10?
Yeah, something like 14-6, 14-3, something along those lines.
So that's all they could get.
Now, is this secondary or total defense?
Total D.
Total defense. Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say that they're all in the NFC West. I think one, maybe two of them are.
I agree that they're all in the NFC. I wouldn't say they're all in the NFC West.
I'd say the Seahawks.
They play great at home.
Niners, obviously.
You can't count out the Bears' defense right now, though.
German or Ravens.
Yeah, I would totally say right now, Cards, Bears, and the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens is just...
The Bears are kind of like feasting on some of the weaker teams.
What about the Texans?
They do have an easy schedule.
You got to have the Niners on.
What about the Texans?
The Texans? I don't know if I would rank the Texans up there with it. I mean, I would consider them for sure, but not top three.
Not top three.
Last year, they were more top three. I don't know about this year yet.
Yeah, the last few years, actually, they were way up there. They took out the Pats like when Brady was healthy.
Losing Mario Williams probably hurt that.
Yeah, big time.
All right. So tonight's game... There are matchup, the Chargers versus the Saints. I'm sure it's on right now. Don't know the scores yet.
7-7.
7-7. Oh, wow. That's
14-10, actually. Saints,
Oh, I did not refresh. I'm sorry.
14-10 Saints, you said?
Yeah, Colston just got a touchdown.
Oh, I did not need that for fantasy.
That's going to hurt me, too.
You know what, guys? I think we might do like a fantasy segment.
Yeah,
we're doing it enough, guys, because all three of you guys are in fantasy. I'm the only one that doesn't
talk 2 years about fantasy. Once baseball stops, we will have a fantasy segment.
Yeah, we will, absolutely. So,
Hey, guys, I'm going to take off right now.
Hey, thanks, Lou. You're a real sweet guy.
Thanks for joining us, man.
You're the sweetest couple of guys I know.
All right. He was referring to me and Porter, obviously, guys. So, hey, Lou, take it easy, man. Call in whenever you want, man. We're always going to be here. Sundays.
Thanks, Lou.
Sounds good, dude.
All right. So, matchup today. Chargers-Saints is already 10-14 Saints. Who wins?
Oh, Saints are they're not even on the bubble. I'm going to go ahead and say that they're struggling right now, obviously. But I'm going to have to go with the Chargers, even if they didn't have the struggles. I think Phillip Rivers is playing good right now. I like Jackie Battle a lot. I think...
The old chief, huh? Just had to throw that in.
Keep quiet over there. but I think the Saints, they just have too many struggles right now, and I don't see them pulling this one out.
Yeah, I like Phillip Rivers in a close game in the fourth quarter. Breeze just had the touchdown record, and I think Sean Payton is out there watching the game or something. Mm-hmm. It's a very emotional game for the Saints, but I still like Phillip Rivers to pull the game out at the end.
I'm in disagreement. I think I've chose them in both my pick'em leagues. I think the Saints, I don't know if they're going to turn around their season, but they're not going to be that 0-for team like they are now. So I see this as the game for them to, you know, I'm an AFC West fan, obviously, so that's a pretty good division to play if you're 0-4. So I think they'll pull through and get it.
I totally go Chargers. Saints, I don't think it's stop anyone right now. Yeah. They're struggling so hard in their D. Maybe they'll pick it up the games go on. But right now, especially the last game, was just I felt between them and the Packers was just like a 0-D game. And they would have won if they didn't shank the kick.
Well, something has to give because the Chargers haven't lost on the road and the Saints haven't won at home. So,
does anybody think that the Saints can possibly pull to within like a 500 record or anything like that?
No.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
They're a bad football team.
The next question is, the only team that's as doing as terrible right now as the Saints is the Browns. And you were like, man, would you ever think that the Browns and the Saints would be in the same rank anywhere?
It's difficult. I mean, I think that I'm still a believer that they can get to maybe around 500, 7-9, something like that. It's just difficult to start out 0-4, though. That's just a mathematical disadvantage. So
huge uphill climb.
It's a hell of a streak to go up after that. You know, you have 12 games left in the season.
Their schedule is not the easiest either. I don't see them winning a whole lot of games.
The NFC is real tough.
Yeah, they've obviously got Atlanta in their division. They still have to play Philly. They're going to Denver. They've got to play San Francisco. They get the Giants. They get Dallas. No, I don't see them winning more than 5 games.
All right.
Same.
You got our picks for the NFL. Moving right along. Okay, we're going to take this, and, you know, this is just for you, Jake. Just take it for you, man.
Should I walk in?
You just walk out, man. Let me get my fog machine. You just
put my hat on, actually.
Put your hat on. You know what? And for all those people that would want to see stuff like that, if we would actually do it, we do have a Ustream. Check it out. Skid Row Studios, okay? We have a camera in here. Don't know if it's working, but it's there. I promise you. So, with the NBA, where preseason is in full effect, okay? Starting yesterday, we had an amazing game, actually. Ty Lawson hits the game winner in Vegas. You know, luck lady be a lady night over there, over the Clippers. That was very, you know, that's a good way. I mean, that's a good way to hype you up. It is preseason, though. I've personally never taken anything preseason.
Never.
Never taken seriously. Not in the NFL, NBA, MLB, anything. I never take it seriously.
But as you shouldn't.
As you shouldn't, exactly. But it's really exciting to see something like that. And something that's really impressed me with the NBA is they have a worldwide audience now. Mm-hmm. We have games this week in Turkey, in Italy, Mexico City. You know, I'm talking about the game in Vegas. Lakers have been known to play in Spain, in London. Mm-hmm. What does that really say? I mean,
the league for a while has been becoming more and more European as far as its players go. You know, you have guys like Manu, you know, who are big stars in the league. Obviously, Pau Gasol. I think it's a part of Stern's plan. I mean, in all sports, really. You see the NFL doing the same thing, taking, I believe, the Saints and the Patriots over to London a couple times. So, I guess it's good for the game. I don't know how much the players and coaches enjoy it, but
yeah,
it's good.
I have to, you know, basketball out of the three main sports here is the one that actually, you know, got transferred over to Europe really well. Baseball and, you know, football, they're trying to bring it over there, but basketball is the one that's really sticking over there. You know, yesterday I wouldn't even have known if there was a preseason game if I wasn't at a restaurant watching it, to be honest with you. I thought it was cool that there was a game with Mandalay Bay. Cool thing is that the Clippers and Nuggets both are pretty fun teams to watch, but I'm with you on this one. I'm not really a big fan of preseason. I don't put too much into it, so it's hard for me to get too into a game, even if it's a buzzer beater.
Yeah, no real input is preseason. What am I supposed to get excited
NBA
about?
NBA preseason is the most useless preseason.
What am I excited about?
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Like, for instance, the Lakers are playing against the Warriors today, and I heard Kobe Bryant's, like, tying his shoe to, like, you know, wave to the crowd for a minute and then get subbed off, you know.
So just a little cameo, yeah.
You know, and I'm for sure Howard's not going to play. He's trying to make the opener. Preseason, yeah.
And that's amazing that he's doing that, actually, because
he might actually play.
Yeah, from what I hear, what his injury is, that's almost impossible to make the opener, but they're saying he's right on track, which that's mad props to him.
He's a beast.
Yeah, and I was worried about that. That was my one concern over this trade, because I always known that Howard's going to be a Laker. I just knew it. It makes sense. And I was just, man, is right now the time? Could we wait that year? Because back surgery, to me, back injuries is the worst injury you could have. That's, you'd be paralyzed, you'd lose mobility, pain in your legs, your arms, to your head, headaches, everything. That's your back. And who knows if he'll be 100%, you know? And it's great to see him now. Working with Nash, trying to play, get to full form and for the NBA, it's great.
Well, he has to be. I mean, like, let's be honest, Nash and Kobe don't have a lot of time on the clock, so you need Dwight Howard to immediately be effective.
Hey, I want to throw a question out there. Barring any injuries, first 20 games, what's the Lakers' record?
18-2.
No. I think they're still going to have a little rough road because it is a new team. It's hard to, you know, it doesn't, just because you have great players, remember Malone and Payton, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to translate to wins.
We won 18 games that season, though.
But that's the same team that's been playing together. That's my whole point, is that they had that communication with each other. So I'm going to say they're going to be good. 18-2 is really high for any team that's on track for that 72-10. So I'm going to say about 16-4, 15-5, I think is fair. That's still a great record, and it's fair.
Not bad. you know me, I have high expectations. And
I'm going to go 20-0. Just to be optimistic.
Yeah. I like that. Play safe. I like that.
That is a true LA fan.
It's like a gunslinger really
pick. Just say 20, you know. It's going to be a good one. You know, they have a good, I mean, I'm trying to look at their schedule right now. I ain't finding it. But I would say along the lines of 16-4, I don't see them. I see them doing well. My expectation for the season is for this to be a really exciting season. And for there to be great wins, great shows from players all around. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, like Ron Artest. I don't know whatever Ron Artest says. But he's like, we're going to beat the Bulls record. And I'm like, that is a long shot to that say.
Bold. You know,
that's a good goal to have, though. I want my players thinking like that.
You like that.
I need that.
Yeah, but you don't want to be overconfident either. You know, I mean,
you want to be humble, but you want to have confidence, though. You want to be able to feel like you could beat any team anytime.
It's also difficult to look at the schedule because, you know, it's always those random teams in basketball that beat you. So, you know, it's tough.
We don't know what's what yet.
Yeah, and we don't know what's yet. And then sometimes some teams come out to play one night and they end up having a 20-62 record. And you're like, how'd they beat us? But
teams are always gunning for the Lakers, though. Teams play their hardest against them.
It's their NBA finals. Yeah, the Lakers are in town.
Agreed. I always look at the traveling as well, because there are some games. Like, I remember last year, they played a game in Denver, and then the next day I had to go to Utah, but their plane got frozen. They got, like, frozen or, like, in a snowstorm or something. Only slept, like, 4, 5, 6 hours each player, you know? Wow. And they struggle. You know, they lost that game. You lost. You're tired. You're stuck in a plane.
You're older.
In your next game, you're older, and then you're like, hey, so you're going to go win the... Come on, Lakers, pick it up. You got to win the next game. Like, sometimes it's scheduled.
Interesting that you talk about the travel, because I was looking at something, and I don't remember where it was. It might have been ESPN. But they were talking about when the Bulls went 72-10, they had a great advantage by playing in the middle of the country, kind of. Mm-hmm. Because when you're traveling to either the West or the East Coast, you know, you're not really taking up so much energy. The Lakers... by where they play over there.
Yeah, you go coast to coast. It's obviously more travel.
It's more taxing. So that factors into it a little bit, I guess.
I never thought about that. That's cool. Yeah.
The exciting thing about the NBA more than anything, more than just preseason, is that preseason is going to end soon. It started, so that means the end is coming for that. Then the real games happen, and we'll be talking about NBA even more. Okay, it'll be up there as much as we talk about NFL, NBA. I think the season starts around when the playoffs end for baseball. So I'm pumped, guys. I'm pumped. Right,
I can't wait.
So moving on, we only have like 5, 6, 7 minutes left. I'm ready to do this because I'm wearing my Barca jersey today. Moving into soccer, okay. El Clasico was today, and what a game! What a game! If you guys were watching it, it was kind of like that. It was, to me, I described it as the intro to soccer, because if you're like, I don't know much about this rivalry. You see all the yellow cards handing around, all the aggressive plays handing around. I don't really know who the best players in the game are. Messi has two
goals. Cristiano, two goals.
Yeah, your thoughts on the game, guys? We all said Barcelona was going to win, and that didn't really happen.
Yeah, we did last week. I was flipping back and forth between that and football, so I didn't really get to watch like too much in depth. But what I saw was, you know, it was the Clásico. It was two teams going hard. They hate each other. Messi versus Ronaldo. Like, no bigger headline in the sport. But I really liked the way Barcelona played. I think they played Barcelona soccer. They held the ball. They controlled the middle. And I'm surprised they didn't win. But
I'm a huge soccer fan, so I don't mind the draw. I know a lot of people may tend to, you know, not like that. But, you know, the star power and the way they played under that pressure, and you saw exactly what you wanted to pay for. And to me, that was in itself great. So that's my take on it.
I thought that was the best possible result for both teams. Yeah. That's all, because... if Real Madrid loses to Barcelona, if anybody, for the rest of the season, their season's done. La Liga is for Barcelona. I mean, you know what? I wonder what'll happen. You know, Puyol got injured. Piqué didn't even play today, but whatever. If they lose to Barcelona, that's their season. You better win the Champions League if you want to do something impressive. Yeah. You know? It was an interesting game. I was nervous. I was more excited than anything. I'm like, all right, so they both have two goals. Whoever scores the next goal might be the hat-trick hero. That's my definition of a hat-trick hero. It's
and like, the game winner, yeah.
The game winner has to be the third goal of yours. Or it's not. It's just a hat-trick, man. You're not a hat-trick hero if you just have a hat-trick in the game, man.
Yeah, I mean, a hat-trick is nice, but most of the time you see it towards the end of the game, or you see it when it's like a, you know, 4-1 game or something like that, so it's not that impressive. If they would have done, if one of them would have done it today.
In the Clásico? 2-2?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we may have been talking about that second. Right after Miguel Cabrera.
We might have brought that
right
up.
Right after Miguel.
Depends how much you like soccer. We might have brought that up.
So, Man U gets their win today over Newcastle.
Newcastle?
Yep.
So they win 4-0. You got the whole midfield, I think, scored. No forwards. My interesting take. How do you guys feel about the forwards for Man U? Because you have Robbie Van Persie. You got Wayne Rooney. You got Chicharito. You got Danny Welbeck as well.
What are you asking?
Is that too much offense?
Because I think it's way too much. When they brought in RVP, I was already a little worried because I was wondering when they were going to work Welbeck in with Chicharito. It seemed like they didn't really want to play together, and they only wanted to go with like a two-striker formation or a center forward and like a one striker, like center forward being Rooney and the striker being Chicharito or Welbeck. And now that Van Persie's in, I don't know what lineup Alex Ferguson's going to go to. I really have no idea who he's going to be playing and who likes who or like the chemistry. I don't know. What do you think?
It's nerve-wracking to me because for the last three seasons, except for when Man U faced Barcelona in the Champions League, I just kept thinking, man, one of their thirds is always struggling. And this time you have Robbie Van Persie. There's a lot of pressure just thinking he's going to score every goal because it's crazy. Mm-hmm. The midfield was struggling like crazy last season. The back four was struggling early on this season. So, and now it's all the forwards. You know, I'm Mexican, so I want Chicharito to play. I just want him to play because, you know, I want him to score. I want him to be that guy. And he had that one hot season. I think that might have been it. You know, he might have had the newcomer's luck, so to speak. But I think there has to be a combination up top and then still have Rooney play for it to work.
Rooney has to be the key for everything, obviously. He's getting everybody involved. He can get his shot at any time, I feel. But yeah, they really need somebody to play consistently besides just RVP or Rooney. They need three people to play consistently up top all the time. You can't just have two people.
Yeah, props to Alex Ferguson. He has his job cut out for him. He has to figure out who's going to do what. This last couple of minutes in the show, I'm going to toss this one out. MMA, I think it's next week. You have Anderson Silva against Stefan, the American Psycho O'Bonner. Now, I'm not really excited for this fight. I'm not excited for any fight with Anderson Silva anymore, except if it's... I honestly am not, unless it's spider. Someone who is like somewhere, has like something amazing.
You want to see him fight John, that's why.
I want to see him fight John Bones Jones. When he fought Vitor Belfort, I thought that was going to be a great fight. And it was, man. It ended in the first round, but I was just like, somebody's going to knock somebody out. I already know. And we'll see if his hands are fast enough. They weren't. His foot was faster. So for this fight, I mean, I just don't see anywhere where Stefan Bonner could win. So,
I mean, for me personally, I used to be a big boxing fan, but as of recent and all the fights we don't get to see, I slowly am transferring over to MMA. And one of the reasons why is guys like St. Paul and especially Anderson Silva. And I think the only way Bonner can win is because of his size, but I don't see it happening by any means.
Nah, you know what? Anderson Silva almost lost. He should have lost once. Somebody wrestled him to the floor, kept him there for five rounds.
Chael Sonnen had him.
Exactly. And then he kind of almost repeated that their second fight and then got cocky, threw like a spinning back fist or something, and then fell to the ground. And that was like that was the most embarrassing loss you could have.
Yeah.
Because he's the biggest trash talker in MMA, hands down, Chael Sonnen. And
he got robbed.
He's like, a great trash talker.
I was like, did we get money for that quick of a fight?
I would pay to hear that guy talk.
Yeah, like I would be like, is he going to go for president one day? Because he's just like politicking over here. Like, hey, your guy's talking for you. You haven't paid your taxes since I don't know when. I'm like, I thought we were just going to fight, man.
Yeah, but I mean, UFC is also one of those things that's trying to grasp some popularity. So I think a guy like that
really marketable.
Guys that you hate, you watch. I don't like Kobe, but I watch the games because I don't like him that much. I want to see what he's doing. So sometimes that works.
You need
for
that.
Guys. Yeah, you do.
What kind of got me in MMA. The Silva Sonnen angle was great. It was like something out of, you know, wrestling from your childhood. Right. These guys really disliked each other, but I thought it was a very classic thing that Silva did at the end after he beat him. Now, for this fight, I'm probably going to go with Anderson. I think he's quicker. Boner's bigger. A Bonner, I'm sorry.
Watch your mouth.
Internet radio, it's okay, guys.
Bonner is a lot bigger.
Two ways.
I just don't think he's going to get a chance to really capitalize on that. I think Silva's going to make it a pretty quick match here.
Silva all around?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like an idiot if I don't.
That's it for our show, guys. Thank you for joining us in the sports booth. We'll be back next week. Thank you for joining, guys.
Boom.